he is the real person, actual person, to understand Radha and Krishna. So he says, all good for Radharani, Radhi Jaya Jaya Madhava Dayini. She is so dear to Krishna. Krishna, everyone is trying to love Krishna, but Krishna is trying to love somebody. Now, how great she is, try to understand. Everyone, the whole world, the whole universe, all living entities, they are all trying to love Krishna. Krishna Prema. Lord Chaitanya describes Prema Pumarto Mahan. And Rupa Goswami describes that you are distributing Krishna Prema. So Krishna Prema is so valuable. But Krishna is after Radharani. Just see how Radharani is great. Just try to understand the greatness of Radharani. Therefore she is so great. And we have to offer our respect. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Dayite. How is she? Gokula Tarini Mandala Mahite. Taruni. Taruni means young girls. You will see the pictures. They are all young girls. But of all the young girls, she is the most beautiful. She is enchanting to the young girls also. Although she's so beautiful that even the other gopis are enchanted by her beauty. What to speak of Krishna. She is so beautiful. Gokula Taruni Mandala Mahite. Damodara Rati Bardhana Veshe. And she always dresses so nicely that Damodar, Krishna, becomes attracted by her beauty. Hari Nishkuta Vrinda Vipinyashe. And she is the only lovable object of Krishna. And she is the queen of Vrindavan. This queen of Vrindavan, you'll find in Vrindavan, if you go to Vrindavan, everyone is worshipping Radharani. Rani means queen. And they are always speaking, Jai Radhe, Radharani. All the devotees in Vrindavan, they are worshippers of Radharani. Hari Niskuta Vrinda Vipineshe. Vishabhanu Dadi Navashashi Leke. And she appeared as the daughter of King Vishabhanu. And her companions, Lalita Shaki and Vishaka Saki. And the devotees. So on behalf of the pure devotees of Krishna, Rupa Goswami is praying, Karunam Kuru Mai Karuna Bharite. Oh my worshipful Radharani, you are so full of mercy. So I am begging your mercy because you are so merciful. Very easily you offer, bestow your mercy. So I am begging your mercy. Now before we go on, Rupa Goswami wrote in his Vidagdha Madhava one very nice verse where he says that. He says, at night, the moon is very beautiful and prominent, but in the day it can't be seen. And the lotus flower can be seen in the day, but at night it closes up. So he said, so who can I compare the lotus face of Srimati Radharani to? I can't compare to them, because her beauty is always there, 24 hours, as they say, 24/7. You know? So, how can you compare to anything? These are considered the most beautiful things that we experience, the full moon and the lotus flower. But you can't compare. Her beauty is so great. Karunam Kuru Mai Karuna Bharite Sanaka Sanatana Bhanite Charite. Now somebody may say, oh, you are so great, learned scholar. You are a great saintly person. And you are begging mercy from an ordinary girl? How is that? Therefore, Rupa Goswami says, this is not any ordinary girl. Sanaka Sanatana Vanita Charite. This girl's description is possible to be made by great saintly persons like Sanaka Sanatana. She is not ordinary. So the lesson is, we should not treat Radharani as an ordinary girl or Krishna as an ordinary man. They are the supreme absolute truth. But in the absolute truth, there is the pleasure potency. And that is exhibited in the dealings of Radha and Krishna. And Radha's expansion, all the gopis, Krishna is the supreme Lord. So just another point, that Krishna is sarvajna, you know, he is all-knowing. But yet, he's not all-knowing, you know, because he doesn't know. This is the whole verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that there are three things. Do you know that verse?
Which one?
Radha Pranaya.
No.
I can't remember the verse, but anyway, it's a verse, Chaitanya Charitamrita, written in the beginning, written by Swarup Damodar. And it says that Krishna is very, the thing, what doesn't Krishna know? Three things he doesn't know. He doesn't know the greatness of Srimati Radharani. The second thing he doesn't know is how Radharani is attracted to his beauty. How great is his beauty that she's attracted to it. He wants to know, what is that attraction? And what is the happiness? What is that great happiness, which is greater than my happiness, that she's experiencing? So these three things Krishna doesn't know. And therefore he has to take the form of Mahaprabhu to understand them. So this is the greatness. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna is the greatest in the universe. He is the greatest in all universes. But there's only one person that's greater, and that is Srimati Radharani. Also, Srila Prabhupada said on another occasion that he said, actually, when I was young, I was always the leader. He said, no one could control me. He said, even now, no one can control me. Only Krishna. And he said, no one can control Krishna except Srimati Radharani. So that's the hierarchy. So anyway, Maranatha Prabhu, there's some nice stories about there's another alternative story about the appearance. This is given by Rupa Goswami, so it's very authoritative, and he knows it better than me, so I'll allow him to please narrate that story about her appearance.
Would it be correct to say that the Sankirtan movement is the compassionate nature of Radharani?
Yes, definitely. It's the manifestation of her mercy.
Okay.
Why don't you stay up there?
So, Rastri, there are five of our brothers here that want to sit. I had a problem with my back. Very sick. But no,
then you should. It's okay.
No,
that's okay. Well, this is more comfortable.
No, it's okay. So I'm okay. Thank you very much. So, Radhasami was traditionally followed by in the first year of Srimati Radharani's birth. Oh. And
The first year.
Yeah. So the mystery is that in the first year of her birth, Radharani was not in Vashana. It was in Mahavan. It was in a place called Raval. Every one of us, I think, more or less, we have been in India. And we know that to go to these places, you have to go to Mathura, cross the Yamuna. You can cross the Yamuna also in Vrindavan, but it's a little, the way is a little longer. Usually all the devotees go there, although there's a lot of traffic in Mathura. But then you cross the bridge in Mathura, then you get on the highway. It's an Indian highway. According to Indian standards, it's an highway. And you first arrive in a place called Raval. It's the first town when you get on the other side of the Yamuna. And unless you don't want to go to Raval, you don't find it because it's hidden in the fields. So you have to know where is Raval. So there, you go in the middle of the field for a couple of kilometers, I think, and then you find a small temple, Temple of Lali Lam, which is the place which has been built in the place where Maharaj Vrishabhanu originally had this palace, kingly palace. They were not actually kings, Kshatriya kings. They were like heads of towns. But they were kings because they were called kings because they were very, very, very opulent. So I'm saying this because according to one story, the first Radhastami was observed 1 year after Radharani appeared from and at the time she was in Javad. And Javad is more or less a middle way between Vashana and underground. So they would bring Srimati Radharani from Javad to Varshan. So I'm saying this because we have several stories in Shastra telling the appearance of Radharani, and they are not the same. So these stories happened in different kalpas, in different periods of time, because Srimati Radharani does not appear only once. He appears only once as the Supreme Personality of God, the Srimati Radharani, or once in a day of Brahma with Krishna, and there are other expansions of Srimati Radharani which are secondary expansions, like Lakshmi, who appears with Lord Narayana in this chart. But when Radha and Krishna, the Supreme Personalities of God, appear, they do it only once in a year, once in a day of Brahma, which is around 8 billion years, so it's a long time. 8,640,000 years, so it's a lot. Half is a day of Brahma and the other one is a night of Brahma. So the story that we know, that we mostly know and we mostly tell, is how Maharaj Vrishabhanu was in his palace in Raval, and that one day he saw a big light coming from the Yamuna, and there he found the Srimati Radharani. You just heard Maharaj saying a different story, like Maharaj Vrishabhanu found Srimati Radharani in a field. And you have a third story, when Srimati Radharani was found in the putana, in the witch putana, in the womb. The story, this story is quite complex. Now I am trying to say in a few words, otherwise we will take the whole day and night. So it's Srimati Radharani appeared in the womb of Kirtida, who is the wife of Maharaj Vrishabhanu. Then, by some story who happened in the past, many millions years ago, the personality of Mount Vindhya got united with Parvati, and they conceived the child, and this child was Srimati Radharani. So it was the same Radharani in the womb of Kirtida who was transported from one womb to the other one, and Srimati Radharani born in that way in Mount Vindhya. Where is Mount Vindhya? Mount Vindhya is not a long story. How this great mountain, which is in the middle of India, it's a big hill in the middle of India, originally was in the Himalayas. And then he had some kind of disagreement with the king of the Himalayas, whose name was Himavan. Then he decided to leave because his greatness was not recognized by Himavan. He said, okay, I will go, I will do my own movement in South India. I will do my own mountain range in South India. You can see that this separatist period has always been in everybody's psychology. Anyway, Mount Vindhya went to the south, and he was so proud that he thought I had to be taller than all the Himalayas, even more higher than Sumeru. You know, Sumeru starts from the earth, from Bhumandala, which is in the middle of the universe, and grows up to Brahmaloka. So Mount Vindhya wanted to be as high, more higher than Sumeru, so it started to grow and grow and grow. It was a big problem because nobody could go in South India at that time. So the devas said Mount Vindhya is to stop. It's to stop the growth. So they asked Agastya Muni. Agastya Muni is a very famous sage. He did a lot of big things and is very renowned. It's the time where he drank the whole Garbhodaka ocean to expose the demons during one of the wars. That's anyway, Agastya Muni was a very, very powerful rishi. So they sent him to stop the Vindhya's growth, and Agastya went there and he said, okay, I have to go South India, so you wait, because I'm so old, I will not be able to climb, you're growing so much. And so Mount India paid obeisance, so he became smaller, and he said, okay, so I will remain like this until anything, you know, obeisance is posture, until you come back. And Agastya Muni never came back. Agastya Muni is still in South India, according to the Shastra. And Mount Vindhya is not growing anymore, still waiting Agastya Muni. No. So this mountain had a very strong desire to have Srimati Radharani as her daughter. So he united with Parvati, and they had that Srimati Radharani was transferred, thanks to Yoga Maya, from Kirtida's womb to Parvati's womb. At that time, there was this very evil king that everyone else knows, whose name was Kamsa. Kamsa was a very powerful, was a very demoniac king. So he heard that Lakshmi Devi would have been taking birth in the earth, and she would be even higher, even more important, more beautiful, and more auspicious than Lakshmi Devi herself. So Kamsa became very interested in Radharani, in this child, and he asked Putana to please, not to please, he wasn't asking please to anyone. He ordered Putana to please go around all over Vraja and kidnap all female children. Because we know the story how Kamsa received this omen that he was to be killed by a boy. So why Putana then kidnapped also female children? Because of this reason. Because Kamsa had received news that Lakshmi Devi had to take birth in this planet. But he said, don't kill them, because witches, this kind of pishachas, they kidnap children, they eat them. So, but Putana did not try to eat Radharani or the other gopis, because he didn't kidnap only Radharani, but also other gopis like Chandravali, Lalita, Vishakha, and many, many others. So the story is very long, but as soon as Putana found Radharani, Chandravali, and others in the Vindhya mountain, he took them all and started to fly over, going in the north, because she wanted to understand who she kidnapped. So at that time, Vindhya became very angry toward this witch and asked a very qualified Brahmana to chant mantras to kill the demon, to kill the witches. And she became very, while she was flying in the sky, Putana became very tired, like she was very in a huge weight on her shoulders. And then she let go in a territory, in a kingdom that at that time was called Vidarbha, which is in north of India. And the Chandravali was the first, was let go. And then she let go other gopis like Vishakha, who while she was flying over Brajamandal, she went into the Yamuna. We know the Yamuna is an expansion of Vishakha Devi. Then when Krishna killed Putana, then Paurnamasi found Srimati Radharani and other gopis in the womb, in the body, hidden in the body of Putana. And he first gave Radharani to Mukara. And Mukara was a gopi, in Javat. And in Javat, when she grew up, she was given in marriage to Abhimanyu. This is also another long story, we will not tell these stories. And that's how, from Javat, from the first day, from the first year of her birth, Radharani was brought to Varshana to do Radhastami, to celebrate the day for 3 days. Even Krishna, as a very young kid, every year would go to Varshana to celebrate this important day of Radhastami. And what Radhastami means? Radhastami means the birthday of Srimati Radharani. So how much I can speak more? I don't know. I can speak for hours, but I think everybody should speak also.
Thank you so much. Okay, can I say something? You see, your own members of the Vedic culture, and from India, and some people have been doing yoga for many, many years. See, a few years back, we celebrated with Radhastami, with Vasagya, you know? So, you know, I'm a foreigner in India. I'm from Colombia. I know the culture. You know, Indians, by the Swamukhs and the Incas and the Chibchas, connected somehow. They say they came from the Bering Strait. You know, so there's a lot of similarities in South American culture with Indian, you know? So, when I joined the movement, I was a hippie. I played music, I chased women, I don't deny it. I was having a great time, okay? And then Prabhupada showed up and said, don't waste your life, you know? What is this, you know? I don't know it, but Prabhupada's presence, his presence, made me understand that there was something so much greater than material life, you know? So, I'm talking about my experience with Radharani, you know? So Radharani, to me, is Radha Govinda in the Brooklyn Temple. You see, lots of people, you know, sometimes talk about those days when Prabhupada came. You know, I was going to college, and I ran into him. And I never thought I could find somebody like him. You know, I didn't know anything. I knew something about yoga, you know. I would do pranayama, a little asana yoga, but nothing deep like Goswami's and all that, you know. But when I met him, he said, the self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth, you know. And I never had the time to study the Vedas. Because I was always selling his books, cooking in the kitchen. We were serving him, we were pushing his movement, distributing books, collecting money so it could be in Mayapur. All that, you know? So we were serving Prabhupada. And I remember coming back from selling books and collecting money in the Bronx, you know? And there was a station, was called Berrien Street, in the ugliest ghetto in New York City, you know? So, you know, I would come at 1 o'clock, take a shower, turn my rounds, go to Mogarati again, and the next day, just want to search for your problem, you know? And when I got off the subway station, there was a lot of Puerto Rican derelicts, very dangerous people, you know? And I always saw Radha Govinda in the temple. You know, Radha, his beautiful Radha, you know, beautiful face, beautiful mark in the face. I don't know, Radha Govinda, you're my favorite. Maybe because he was the only one, you know, that I really served. So to me, Radhe is inseparable. I might not know much about it, but Radhe is a Krishna's concert. And if I ever be saved, be by Srila Prabhupada, it makes it happen.
Thank you.
I'm just glad to be in association with all the wonderful Vaishnavas that are speaking about Srimati Radharani, because it's like you said, there's things that even Krishna can't understand, and I think how merciful Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to come in the Kali Yuga, even in the present modern day, in the form of the Sankirtan movement, and you see that the compassion, the level of compassion and kindness is beyond understanding. Just like Krishna can't understand Radharani, it's really hard to understand Lord Chaitanya's mercy that's being freely distributed to everyone and made readily available. And with the blessings of Radharani, everyone is a candidate. No one's excluded. And the prayers of by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his examples of putting himself like on the level of a common fallen person, even though he's the most exalted, he's teaching us the mood of humility to approach Srimati Radharani. And Srila Prabhupada, in his prayers, he would say, "Verily, verily, verily I say unto you, O brothers, that you will only achieve the supreme goal of life when you achieve the mercy of Srimati Radharani." So that's all I could say is hope someday to be one of those candidates.
Srimati Radharani Ki Jai. Well, a wonderful experience. Like Raya was saying, relevant to my own life was when we go to Vrindavan and our beautiful Krishna Balaram temple there, and Radhe Shyam is there. I think she's probably, in my mind at least, she's the most beautiful of all the Radharanis in the world.
In Vrindavan.
Yeah. And she's the most, she's so amazingly merciful. I was just astonished. I went there, this one devotee in Dallas was, she was very, very ill. We thought she was going to leave her body, named Mother Kirti, that I wrote a book about.
Oh, right.
And I went there to Vrindavan, took her to Vrindavan, and it's been, you know, since 1988, I hadn't been there in Vrindavan since 88, so it was 1993. And I was just praying to Srimati Radharani. And immediately, it was like, it's in the evening time, so the last part of the arti time, they give away a lot of garlands. But I was standing way in the back, there's so many people there, in front of Radhe Shyam and Walter, and I was standing in the back, and I was just praying to Radhe, please somehow bless this for the Kirti that she can, you know, successfully live here and die here, if that's what you desire. Because she came there just to die, basically, you know. So I'm just standing there, and all of a sudden, the pujari, the beautiful garland that Radharani is holding in her hand to offer to Krishna, she takes that garland off and makes sure everybody out of the way, it gives it to me way in the back. And I was like, wow, only Radharani could be so kind to, and that happened every day, actually. When I was there praying like that, I got these amazing garlands from Radharani. It was just very, very personal. It really gave me a sense that that these aren't statues. Mm-hmm. This is the Supreme Personality of God, and they're very, very kind and merciful. And in New York City, one time, Prabhupada was going to see his Raghava's favorite Radharani and Krishna, Radha Govindaji. In the old 55th Street Temple, Prabhupada opened the door to the pujari room, the side altar door, and he looked in and he closed the door and he said, we can't go in right now because Radha and Krishna are having a conversation. So I don't want to disturb them. So to us, Prabhupada knew Radha and Krishna. So Prabhupada was our total via medium connection to understanding anything about Krishna and Radharani or anything. It was like Prabhupada could see Krishna and he could talk with Krishna and he could go on the altar and see them talking. And so whatever ability we have is from Prabhupada's mercy. That because he was so intimately associated with the Lord, that we got to get some benefit.
Actually, there's one song, the Goswamastakam by Srinivasacharya. Srila Prabhupada would speak many times on the first line of the last stanza. He Radhe Brajadevike Chalalite E Nandashuno Taha. He said, this is the mood of the six Goswamis. They're saying, where is, O Radhe, O Krishna, where are you? You know, are you at the bank of the Yamuna? Are you at the foot of the Govardhan? Where are you? And Prabhupada would say, not that Srimati Radharani is so cheap that yesterday I saw Krishna, or today Krishna spoke to me. No. Prabhupada said, that is not the mood of our acharyas. The mood is that where are you, Krishna? Otherwise, always hankering for Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada said, so this is the mood established by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that we want to find Krishna, we want to find Radha, and we're feeling separation. And that separation and the being very anxious to achieve the presence of Krishna, to be able to enter into his service, that is the best way to advance in Krishna consciousness. Not by thinking or not by imagining, yes, I saw Krishna, yes, I saw Radharani, yes, I'm the possessor of Krishna, I'm the possessor of Radha, but rather always in a humble mood. No, Manalapur was explaining this morning how this humility is such an important characteristic, because if there's no humility, how can you approach Krishna? And also, when we approach Krishna through Srimati Radharani, you know, but Srila Prabhupada made the point that how can you understand someone's internal affairs if you don't know the person? Prabhupada said, just like if you know some big businessman, you can't understand his internal affairs, his family affairs, you know, what is his relationship with his wife, with his children, unless you know him very well. He's not going to come up to you, some stranger, and say, yeah, well, my wife and I, we have a very intimate relationship. No, he's unless you know him very well. So Srila Prabhupada said, in the same way, how can we understand Srimati Radharani and the loving relationship between Radha and Krishna if we don't know Krishna as the Supreme Person, as the Absolute Truth, as the Supreme Controller, as the Supreme Enjoyer? It's impossible. But this is what many people do nowadays. Of course, maybe more in India than other places, because they have some knowledge of Krishna. It's like one time, I was on an airplane with Bhakti Sundar Maharaj, who will be here next weekend, so everyone can please come and hear him. And so when we sat down, one man flying from what's the name of that city? Mangalore. Flying from Mangalore to Bangalore. So he said, so he looked at it, he said, so you are sannyasi? Yes. So what are you studying? So we're devotees of Krishna. And so he said, oh yes, Krishna, I know Krishna. I know Krishna very well. So Maharaj asked him, so have you read Bhagavad Gita? No. So this is what happens. No? People think, just because they've heard some stories about Krishna, or they know something about, oh yes, I know Krishna, I know Radha. But Krishna is not so cheap, and what to speak of Srimati Radharani. Actually, someone made the point that in Srila Prabhupada's introduction to the Krishna book, he says, so people may wonder, who is this person Krishna? And who is this girl next to Krishna? But then Srila Prabhupada, the rest of the whole preface, he explains who is Krishna, but he doesn't explain who is Radha. Because the mystery of Srimati Radharani is very deep. And until you really understand Krishna, there's no question of understanding Srimati Radharani. So we should keep Srimati Radharani in a very reverential position. And then when one is qualified, you know, then one will actually understand the mystery of Srimati Radharani. Even Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita, Bhakti Tvananyaya Sakya Aham Evam Vidurjuna Gyatum Jashtum Chatatvayena Pravishtum Cha Parantapa, that the only way you can possibly understand anything about me is through pure undivided devotional service. You know? And by doing that, you can understand me, you can see me, and ultimately you can enter into the mysteries of my very existence. And that's Krishna. And then, from there, we may get some glimpse of Srimati Radharani. So one may say then, well, if Radharani is so, how can we approach Krishna through Srimati Radharani? And how can we do that? By the chanting of the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. That way we purify our hearts. And by the mercy of Sri Guru, Sri Guranga, we can understand. By Lord Chaitanya's mercy, we can understand. And then the mercy of the holy name and the mercy of the Guru, we can understand something about Srimati Radharani. If you'd like to say something else, please.
Should I?
Yeah, we can. You can say the concluding...
Concluding words.
Concluding Prabhachar.
To devotees or to guests?
Whatever you want. We're all devotees here. These are our regular devotees here.
These are regular devotees.
Yeah.
There is some Vaishnavism, which is the basic of our tradition, has many branches. Now our branch is particular, is the only one, maybe not really, but let's say that it's one of the very few who is characterized by a mood of separation, which is very healthy for spiritual life, because one should feel separation from the spiritual world. One should feel separation from Krishna. It's like the material world, we are always trying to be with somebody else because we feel alone. I was just preaching to an Italian devotee. She was saying, my husband left me, now I'm alone, I want another husband, I don't want to be alone. I told her, look, you know, there are two kinds of loneliness. One is a loneliness when you are alone, and the other one was is loneliness when you are with somebody else. You know, that kind of disappointment that you feel with anything material. I'm a grihastha, don't worry, I'm not going to speak against his family. I'm a grihastha with two children grown up, that's it. But it's just to make the point that that actually the real companionship can be had only on a spiritual platform, because it's the only type that will never leave us. Because we really have to understand how everything we have, as it had a beginning, it will have an end. So let's not be confused, not be bewildered, and think that now I'm okay, I have my family, I have my money. And so Radharani felt so much separation from Krishna. There is a very wonderful verse that you find in the Padya Valley by Srila Rupa Goswami. It's the 367, if I don't remembering correctly, which is Priha Soyam Krishna Sahachari Kurukshetra Militas Tataham Sarada Taridam Ubayo Sangama Sukham Tatapyam Takela Madura Murari Panchamayushe Manomekka Lindi Pulina Vipinayas Prihayati. Most important word, as often is in Sanskrit verse, is the last one, which is Spriha. And spriha means not just desire, but it's a very intense desire. very intense desire. And that is the characteristic of this entire verse, which is being spoken by Srimati Radharani herself after more than 100 years she hasn't seen Krishna. And so after 100 years Krishna went for an important there was the solar eclipse. So they went to Kurukshetra. It was very and Kurukshetra was very visible, very, very, very strong. So millions of people went. And Krishna at that time was a prince in Dwaraka. He went with chariots and servants and wives, and everybody was there. Also his brother Balaram and sister Subhadra, they went there. But also the Vrajavasis went. So Vrajavasis and Srimati Radharani was there. It was more than 100 years, 104 years, that the Srimati Radharani haven't seen Krishna. So he saw him again, and she was not alone. She had a friend with her. And she said, Priya, my dear friend, so young means I am the same Radharani. I'm the same. Just like when 100 years ago we were in Vrindavan playing. Krishna Saha Chari. And I am so happy. Now Krishna Saha together. I see Krishna again, Krishna Sahachari, Kurukshetra Milita. So we are meeting again in Kurukshetra. Tatakyan Takeyam Madura Murari. And she's saying, I'm very happy. It's so nice to see Krishna again. But because of my personal realization and relationship with Krishna, I don't experience the maximum of happiness, because I would like to go back in Vrindavan, you know. And although Srimati Radharani was there and seeing Krishna again, she felt separation from the other Krishna, from the other Krishna who was in Vrindavan. So we are here in the most beautiful place, you know, San Antonio, which is a Krishna ashram, and we have the deities, etc. And so we should be happy being here, but at the same time we should desire to be pure devotee. We should desire to serve Krishna. We should desire that from this small house, it was like, will manifest a huge temple for Radha and Krishna. We must have Radha and Krishna here. And everybody should work for this, because this city deserves Radha and Krishna, deserves a very nice worship. So we should always, no matter how important our service is, we should always feel separation from some other service. Even when we'll be in the spiritual world, we'll feel separation. We'll feel separation from our service here in the material world, because we will think, oh, there are so many people, there is a city there, 1.5 million people, they do not have Radha Krishna. So I want to go back and work for Guru Prasad Swami Maharaj and make a big temple for Radha Krishna. So I think this desire to serve Krishna and everyone is the one of the most important meanings of Radhastami.
Any questions, any comments from anyone?
I just wanted to share something.
Yes.
It's very nice to be here from all of you. I just heard something wonderful. It was, I thought I would share that with all of you. When we say we are International Society of Krishna Consciousness, so when Krishna conscious, who is Krishna conscious? Is Krishna conscious? No, it's Srimati Radharani. So when we say Krishna consciousness, we are actually talking about the mood of Srimati Radharani. So this is because as we can see in the external world, just attraction between male and female is so much that people sing songs in films, and when they separate, there is so much, the whole world is revolving around that. So that is just an external manifestation of his insignificant energy. And what must be the internal manifestation of his love? So you can imagine that kind of thing. So, Hare Krishna. Hare means Srimati Radharani. So, there's a lot we can say, but I feel I'm very unqualified to speak anything about Srimati Radharani. It's the only way we can understand is through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu exhibited the mood of Srimati Radharani by he was in a kirtan and he used to sing for 6 hours, a road for 12 hours, and sit in circle for several hours. And that was the exhibition of Srimati Radharani's love for Krishna by crying for several hours. So it's really unimaginable. So if we really want to understand love, so we must approach Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu to understand. And without that, you cannot really approach Radha and Krishna in the Kaliyuga, God Nityananda. There was a revelation that in a dream of Sachimata, there was Krishna and Balram who were there, and they actually they came down, and God Nithai went back and he said, now it's our time. Your time is over. This is our time to give mercy to others. So it was really amazing that we can properly take shelter of God Nithai, so we can approach properly Srimati Radharani. The great souls actually, just like Guru Maharaj, he actually gives us to in the hands of Srimati Radharani all the garlands of devotees, and Srimati Radharani offers it to Krishna. That's why we serve Guru, that's why we serve great souls. So, thank you very much. Thanks.
I have a question, Maharaj. What about this little person who says that he's an incarnation and says that he is Radha? What do you know about that? So how are we supposed to think about somebody who says they're an incarnation of Radharani in Lord Chaitanya?
How do we think about them?
Yeah.
We give them the address of the local insane asylum.
These two people in Nashville?
Yeah.
Yeah, by Russian.
Oh, you mean the the people?
Yeah.
Kripalu is the head. This is percussion on
the. Oh, the one in.
Yeah. But you know, basically, like father, like son, you know, so.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, I heard that. I mean, it's just, you know, it's called Prakriti Sai. And we know that this is very cheap. You know, it's like one other so-called incarnation of Radharani that we had in South America. And he said that, you know, that Radharani has appeared within me and is opening up the lotus flower of opportunity to come to Krishna through me. And then a few months later, they discovered he's running a car theft mafia. And you know, he was like thrown out of the country, lost all of his followers. So that was this is another so-called Radharani incarnation, you know.
Prabhupada used to say that in America we're very lucky because we have one God. Whatever, you know, we call him God. In India, there is many, many gods born every day. And that's after Shankaracharya, you know, Mayavadi school of philosophy. You know, if you're Brahmana, you're God, you know. I'm God, you're God, but it's God, you know. So he said, actually, we were lucky in that respect. But we have to deal with all this all the time. A new God born every day.
Have to deal with other things. Actually, Prabhupada said, so here is this new God having pig lila, you know, dog lila, you know. He said, we don't want this type of God with pig lila, dog lila. We want Krishna lila, you know. This is our God. Prabhupada said, no fuzzy hair, no fuzzy haircut. We want God as, you know, beautiful locks of hair surrounding his lotus face.
Ready for prasad?
Well, we can have a little kirtan. We'll have a little kirtan and then prasad.
Okay.
So why don't we start our kirtan now?
Krishna, you want to go ahead?
I want another.